Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we get to say hello to Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com as he joins us for the first half of this hour. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you today?
Doing quite well. Certainly hope you're coming off a great weekend, and Tennessee has certainly been tearing it up. Already impressed, I know, with the talent they've assembled for the class of 23, and Rob, they've really upped it with a couple of strong additions in just the last little while.
They're on fire, John. They're like Jimmy Himes from the senior tees. They can't miss. big day today. But if you came in, you know, Tennessee, I think, has coming into this weekend was already, you know, sitting pretty well in terms of, you know, what the recruiting class looked like in terms of meeting needs. If there's one or two spots where you'd say, you know, you'd like to add another quality player or two, the secondary and specifically cornerback would have been, you know, up there on that list. And to pull two guys in the last 2 days, in Ricky Gibson and Jordan Matthews, just really big gets. I mean, Tennessee beat out Georgia straight up for Ricky Gibson. Jordan Matthews is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And, you know, for whatever reason, I think LSU kind of fumbled or misplayed that recruitment pretty early on and was not really a factor. But Tennessee ends up beating Texas and Michigan out. They were the other two finalists for Jordan Matthews. So a couple of big-time pulls in the last 2 days. And Jimmy, that's, you know, I know you know all about LSU football. You're not going to pull many kids out of Louisiana that LSU wants. And, mm-hmm. and not only you know, was he from Baton Rouge, his dad played at LSU. So, again, that's a recruitment that, you know, Tennessee was fortunate. I think LSU really bungled pretty early as far as, you know, the relationship there. But he had been to Texas multiple times recently, just took an official visit there within the past couple of weeks. And it kind of, you know, just because of the visits, I mean, it really, a lot of people felt like Texas was the school to beat. But really, Tennessee did a great job there. And, you know, hats off to Willie Martinez, the point man in both of those recruitments. To pull that off, I mean, it's really hard to overstate, you know, how big those gets were when you look at the class, when you look at what this recruiting class needed, and you add those guys to the player that Tennessee pulled back earlier this summer, in Christian Connor, a defensive back from up in Kentucky, and really the secondary is starting to look like a strength in this class. And, you know, last year, and maybe in the early part of this recruiting class, it seemed like it was, you know, everything was kind of skewing towards the offense. You know, certainly landed a guy like Nico makes you think that the offense is ahead. But really, the last little bit, it's been all defense and some really good players along the way. To where, you know, Tennessee is sitting now with 21 commitments in this class, I think solidly in the top 10 for right now. And, you know, for Josh Heupel in his second year, and, you know, they had a nice year last year, but you're also in a conference where you recruit against two teams that were not only in the playoffs but played for the national championship, in traditional powers like LSU, Auburn, Florida, you know, and Tennessee is right there swinging with all of them.
So we talked about what the secondary would look like in the future. Is for now, Kamal Haddon is out with an injury. Christian Charles is working at corner. It looks like Warren Burrell maybe on the other side. What is your take on Tennessee's secondary right now?
Well, Jimmy, I think it's a question mark, but I mean, just because you have some guys who have not played before, but I really feel like for the first time in several years that they have some quality depth there. I mean, I guess what I mean is I think you're going to have some pretty good players who end up, you know, not being in the starting lineup or having a tough time cracking the rotation, at least at quarter and nickel. I mean, I think Branch is a nice player. Tamarian McDonald at star sounds like he's had a really nice camp. And, you know, I think you'd really like to get Haddon healthy. I think that's probably one of their top, you know, three or four corners when he's right. I think they like what they've seen, as you mentioned, from Christian Harris. I mean, in order for them to move him from safety to corner, which not a lot of guys could do, and apparently, you know, that's a move that has stuck. I mean, he worked there out of necessity, you know, kind of in the spring, even though he was limited. And, you know, they obviously like what they saw to keep him there. And even though Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers had played a lot of football, Jimmy, I'm not, you know, I'm just not, I don't want to, you know, belittle them, but they have not set the world on fire at safety, I guess is what I'm saying. And is Willie Martinez married to those veterans? I mean, he's a, like a lot of coaches. I mean, and not just Coach Martinez, but those, you know, so how often do you see where a coach will go with a veteran because he at least trusted to know what to do, even if you might have a talented younger player that maybe will make, you know, some mental errors but has a higher ceiling. And I haven't seen or heard anything that makes me think that McCullough and Flowers will not be, you know, the starters there. And, you know, maybe they have, you know, maybe they've completely made that case on the practice field. You know, that could certainly be what's happening there. But to me, that even though you've got some veterans at safety, I wouldn't necessarily consider that a strength.
Staying on defense, Juwan Mitchell, it seems like after basically missing all of last year with an injury, looks like he's having a pretty good camp. So if he plays to the level where he led Texas in tackling a couple of years ago, coupled with Jeremy Banks and Aaron Beasley and Solon Page, as Heupel said, they've got more depth at linebacker. Your thoughts on that position?
Yeah, I think it looks a lot better than it did last year, Jimmy. I mean, you essentially went through the whole year playing three guys in the middle, which is, you know, that's tough to do in the SEC. I mean, that's not a spot where you rotate like you will on the defensive line, but, you know, I think you had some guys play with some nagging injuries, play a lot of snaps that, you know, maybe was not ideal. But I think Mitchell is kind of a key. But as you mentioned, if you get the guy that led Texas in tackles 2 years ago, that's a pretty big boost. I think the way that the coaches are talking, it sounds like Jeremy Banks has really taken a step this offseason and, you know, becoming more of a complete linebacker, making a lot of plays. I mean, you heard Josh Heupel say, you know, he created the only turnover in the scrimmage the other day, you know, kind of reading and diagnosing the screen pass and getting in front of it. And I think they've got some promising young guys. I mean, I don't know that they're going to play this year or be much of a factor, but I think Elijah Herring and Caleb Perry are two guys that, you know, depth-wise are going to be able to help and, you know, should be able to get some snaps early on in some of these non-conference games. But, man, Caleb Perry looks as good as anybody on the team, just physically. Mm-hmm. He is a really good-looking player for a freshman, 6'3", 230 pounds, and looks like he can really run.
Let's get a call from Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, man, y'all did such a good job of covering recruiting that I don't even need to ask a question. And I wanted to know, though, about practice. What's the word out of practice the last few days?
Well, they didn't go today, but they did have their second scrimmage yesterday, Rob.
Right. What are you hearing?
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy, it kind of sounded to me, and I know, you know, in talking with Coach Heupel, you know, reading between the lines of Coach Heupel's comments, my takeaway was it was a pretty good day for the defense.
Yes.
Or maybe it was just an improved day for the defense after the offense maybe kind of had their way with them last week in the first scrimmage. But we unfortunately don't get a chance to see it. But just the buzz that I had picked up seemed like it was a better day for the defense, and I think that was something that Heupel wanted to see. I don't feel like they covered themselves in glory last week in the first matchup.
Okay, so we're not hearing anything from right before this practice as far as Saturday or Friday. Well, they didn't do anything Friday, did they? But, I mean, individually, I've heard that they had worked out some. This was before yesterday. And that the Warren kid had a really nice catch, real good. And that McCoy had a one-handed catch and stuff like that. I'm hearing they really like Merle at receiver quite a bit. And I was told it's very difficult for a defensive back to jam him at the line of scrimmage. And we know he's supposed to run perfect routes, usually catches the ball if he gets there. So that's what I've heard. But what do y'all say to all that? What do you think about some of the players, how they're looking individually?
Yeah, I mean, Squirrel White's a name that comes up. Brew McCoy is somebody that Heupel mentioned as having a good scrimmage. Walker Merrill is somebody he mentioned as having a good scrimmage.
He mentioned Holiday also is doing pretty well, made some plays. But he also said what I thought was interesting of Squirrel White and Jimmy Callaway. He said that ultimately they have to prove that they deserve to be on the football field and play. So, but I've been really impressed. It's hard not to be with Squirrel White. I mean, even Terry McDonald, who's been playing the star position, said when he goes against White in practice, he backs off the line of scrimmage because he didn't want to get beat. So I think Squirrel White's going to be a part. He will make an impact on this offense. And then out of the other group, it's just who's going to emerge. I'm confident Jalen White's going to Hyatt's going to be the number two guy, and then he gets down to Callaway, Holiday, Merrill. Maybe Squirrel White is who's going to fill in the rest of that rotation.
And Brew McCoy.
Should have mentioned him, yes.
Yeah. Well, how's he looking on Brew? When are we going to hear something? About the transfer stuff.
Heupel didn't have an update on Sunday and was pretty short about it. I think he's getting tired of being asked about it.
Right.
It can't be, you know, it can't be too much longer, Jimmy. I mean, I would think the next, if we don't hear this week, the early part of next week, we'll have to have a decision.
You would think so. Yeah, they need to get that resolved because the game September the 1st is just around the corner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay then, fellas. Y'all be good, and good to talk to you. And Rob, I'm glad you're so excited about our recruiting. And I am too. And is there any more scholarships to yield, Rob?
Oh, they've got room. I mean, they're at 21 guys right now. I mean, they in this, you know, they've got the new. I'm not even sure. I mean, it's they can take more than 25 in this class due to the recent tweak to the NCAA rules. But you know, as far as high school guys, there are certainly some guys out there that are takes. For sure, like Tamarian Parker is a defensive end that just decommitted from Penn State that Tennessee was in the thick of. Tavian Gatson, Kedrick Falk are two FSU commitments that Tennessee is still working hard at. But I would – a handful of high school guys, I would say, is, you know, three or four, you know, depending on who they are. And, you know, unless Tennessee batted 1,000, which is not going to happen on the high school guys that they want. But I'd be surprised if there's more than three or four high school guys in this. And then I think every year from now on, you're going to hold three, four, five spots for transfers.
Let's go to the phones, and it's D who joins us next. Hello, D. How are you?
Well, doing quite well, gentlemen. My question, we all know pretty much how practice is going, how we're looking for the breakout guys, but I really want to know how our injury report is. Are we healthy, getting ready to go in with 20 days to go?
Rob, you want that or you want me to jump on it?
Well, I mean, Jimmy helped me because I'm sure I'll miss a couple guys. But, I mean, no long-term injuries so far. I mean, Tennessee's, you know, knock on wood, been pretty fortunate in that regard. Cabell Hedden's missed a lot of time. Elijah Simmons has been out a little bit. Sounds like Squirrel White and Callaway have some small nagging things. And Jalen Wright has been limited and really hasn't gone yet.
That's about all I got. Yeah, from that perspective, they're pretty darn healthy.
So if Jalen Wright is supposed to be one of our breakout guys and we can keep him, you know, we got minimum 80% healthy going into week one, definitely that's when we really need Brew or Callaway to step up.
Jalen Wright, not Jalen Wright.
I'm intrigued on Merrill.
And what do you want to know about him?
Yeah, Squirrel White, too. I'm intrigued on Squirrel White.
Well, one of the things, now with Jalen Wright, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a quad that he's dealing with. Okay. I think Walker Merrill is going to fit in the rotation. I think he's a really good route runner. I think he knows the offense. I think he can get open. I think he's got good hands. He's been playing with this shaded visor, which you cannot use in a game. I checked on the appeal process. They don't allow appeals. No exceptions on that. And then Squirrel Wright, I think – here's what I think is going to happen, D, and I may be mistaken, but he is going to play early And when he goes against two of Tennessee's first three opponents, they're not going to be able to tackle that guy. He's going to put on a show against Ball State and Akron, I think. Now, Pitt, I don't know. But I think in those other two games, he's going to really impress because I don't think they'll have anybody that can cover him.
Well, I like fireworks in September, October, November, and December.
You may get a lot of them.
Awesome. I appreciate you, gentlemen. You guys have a blessed day.
You too, D. Thank you very much. Let's go next to Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
So my question is really to all three of you. Well, let me ask this first. So have all of you all seen the two scrimmages?
No, they don't allow the media to watch scrimmages.
Okay, I don't understand that one all the time. But, all right, so based on, have you all been to practices at all?
Yes. We're allowed two periods.
So, all right, so based on what you maybe have seen, maybe the news that you've heard out of there, if each of you, give me who you, look at what position right now, if you could go to the portal and say, I've got to go get somebody for this position, what position would you go to for both offense and defense and go get somebody right away from the portal that you see this is a need Tennessee has right now for us to be either shored up or maybe just super effective for the year? And I'll hang up and listen, and I appreciate you guys. Thank you all.
Rob, what do you think?
For me, it's easy. It'd be defensive tackle. And, I think that Omari Thomas has a lot of potential to be a really good player. I think DeJon Terry can be a nice player. Bryson Easton. Tennessee just doesn't have anybody that has proven that they're a consistent high-level SEC player. Now, some one of those guys might do it. I mean, I think they have the ability, but you just don't have that upperclassman who has really been a high-level SEC player as an interior defensive lineman for, a year or two.
I put down cornerbacks also on my list. Offensively, would it be left tackle or somewhere else?
Yeah, probably for me. I mean, it does not appear that the staff is panicking, though. I mean, over what they're seeing from Jeremiah Crawford or Gerald Bensie. But, we obviously haven't seen them doing the game yet, and it doesn't seem like there's a, that they are really – displeased with what they've seen from either one of those guys. So, kind of reading the tea leaves between the lines, the comments that we've gotten from Heupel or Alex Golish or Lynn Ellerby, they seem pretty happy with what they've seen from both those guys.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that kind of clouds the answer for me in this question, Rob, is just because there are still battles going on for specific positions, as you painted it or as you portrayed it, doesn't mean that they're not pleased with what they have trying to decide who's the starter between two or more players. I would probably just go with another person to add to the overall depth for both the offensive line and the defensive line, with the secondary also still being a part of the conversation. But, Rob, I know you wrote last week where Willie Martinez, I don't think there's any question, likes what he has to work with and has more, he thinks, to work with this season compared to last year, even though you might not have somebody who you can point to as obvious contributors right out of the gate like an Alante Taylor.
Yeah, I think in the recent past, I mean, multiple years, I think in the secondary that there have been position battles where there really wasn't, sounds bad, but, whoever won it was not going to be a great player.
Mm-hmm.
A better way to put it, would not be an average SEC player. And this fall, this camp, I mean, I, like I said earlier, I really feel like in the secondary you're going to have some guys who either are not starters or battling to get in the rotation who are pretty good players. And I don't think that's been the case for a while right here.
Rob, as we started the conversation with Tennessee, two big additions to the class of 23 and it looks like the secondary, of course, if they get everybody across the finish line, what else is going on at VolQuest.com these days?
Well, I mean, absolutely. The focus today is on recruiting. A couple of great pieces up on both of those kids from Austin Price, video interviews, Eric Kane, whose work you guys are familiar with, great job of breaking down how those commitments fit with impact analysis pieces on both Jordan Matthews and Ricky Gibson. So Recruitniks, jump in there and check that out. A lot of information on those guys. And really, it's wall-to-wall fall camp coverage right now. Believe it or not, we're just a little more than 2 weeks away from kickoff.
Yeah, isn't that something? And anything to update in regards to the world of basketball for Tennessee?
Not really. One of Tennessee's main targets, J.P. Estrella, who's a big guy from up in the Northeast, from Maine, goes to prep school in New Hampshire, top 50 national prospect, who has visited Tennessee. He's gonna make an announcement first week of September. Tennessee, Iowa, Syracuse, battling there. And that's the next target date, anyway, of one that basketball fans should keep an eye on.
Rob, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.